morning and welcome to the worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. This is the fourth Sunday in Lent. And we are joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, our musical director, Dave Valerio, and our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville. So Glenn, please call us to worship.
I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. Acknowledging this, we praise you with all our hearts. We praise you for your righteousness and your mercy as we enter this time of worship. Amen. Lord, allow the eyes of our heart to be opened so that we may see your hand at work around us. We pray that we would feel your presence keenly and that you may work through us for your purposes. Grant us grace and courage to do your will and be your people. This we pray even as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Glenn. And at this time, I'd like to call on Peggy Robinson. Unmute yourself, Peggy. You're still muted. We can't unmute you, Peggy.
No, that's, am I unmuted now?
You are unmuted now. Thank you, Peggy, yes.
Excellent. Okay. So our mission project for the month of March is OCWM, our church's wider mission. OCWM is how we support our denomination, the United Church of Christ. This support enables us to work in a worldwide community, as well as nationally and locally. A few of the ways that OCWM provides support include pastoral education events, lay leadership support and training, church vitality, new church planting, pastoral search, and provide support in over 79 countries for outreach, leadership, and a more compassionate and just world through justice and witness ministries. You can contribute to OCWM anytime in the month of March. Please remember to include OCWM in the memo line of your check. And remember, as you're able, to support Lenore's Pantry, our year-round mission, by donating non-perishable foods. Drop-off details are included in the mail, the email that you receive for this Zoom meeting. As always, the Mission Committee thanks you for your generous support for all of our projects.
Wonderful. Thank you, Peggy, for that. This is the time we have some announcements. First of all, I have to say, I can't believe that Palm Sunday is just two Sundays away. We're hoping to have a Palm Parade video of the children. That will be nice. And by the way, Palm Sunday is also Family Sunday this month, being the last Sunday of the month. Maundy Thursday is on April 1st this year. We will have our traditional service at 7:30 p.m. and communion will be celebrated. So make the usual preparations at home with bread or a cracker and something like grape juice if you wish to join in the sacrament. On Easter morning, there will be a sunrise service at 6 a.m. at Cape Run Park under the shelter. Mr. Dave will be the musician once again, as he has been doing for many years now. And I believe that masks and social distancing will be observed at that time. Are there any other announcements? Unmute yourself and make
Reverend them. Carol. Yes. As you mentioned, with Palm Sunday coming up, yes. I'm not sure exactly about the videotaped palm parade, but we have asked the students to make palms. So I wanted to let everyone know that anyone who wants to make a palm, you don't have to be a member of the Sunday school. So any child or adult who would like to do a craft is welcome to do that. I made some examples just in case, so no one has an excuse to say, I had no idea what to do. So you can just take a piece of construction paper, fold it in half, make a semicircle, open it up, and cut some slits in there, and then voila, you have a palm that you can all wave.
How easy is that?
You can also trace your handprint if you'd like. Everybody, you know, just use your hand, someone else's hand. Put them together, do a couple of them, put them on a popsicle stick, or you could even take, I had a toilet paper holder, you can even tape it to that, and there you have a palm. So if anyone, everyone, whoever is with you on Palm Sunday, in your own little box, we can do a whole big wave. Go from one to the other.
Okay.
So you can make those, and everybody can have a palm to wave for Palm Sunday. So I know everybody has always wanted to participate in the palm parade, but you just weren't a member of Sunday school, so now's your chance.
Thank you for that correction, Ms. Heather. We may or may not have the video, but we'll all be waving our palms at home. That's terrific. Thank you so much for that. Very good. Are there any other announcements? If not, then Mr. Dave, would you please tell us about the hymn we're going to sing?
Yes, just to reiterate, yeah, we're going to, there's actually going to be a piece of music played, the traditional one that we've been doing with the Sunday school. And so the music will be playing and everybody can wave their palms while the music's playing. So it's only about 15 minutes. So
I don't know. That's kind of hard for us to really all get together and do that, but we'll give it our best try, Dave.
So the opening hymn was Sherilyn played on the trumpet. It was Come Ye Thankful People. And we're glad that you did come this morning to join us in worship. And our middle hymn, and once again, the words, the lyrics can be found down in the chat area. If you click on the chat area, Sherilyn has posted the lyrics. The lyrics for the song, Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart. It's number 160, if you do have a hymnal at home, 160. And it's Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart.
Mr. Dave, for that. This is the time that we do share our celebrations. There's just one that I would really like to make, and that is to celebrate that all that Kathy Trowbridge and her crew did for serving us a wonderful St. Patrick's Day family feast last Friday evening. Yes, I see a lot of people clapping. Yeah, they did a very good job under trying circumstances. But thank you so much for everyone that helped on that. Are there any other celebrations you would like to lift up? Madison, unmute yourself.
I would like to celebrate. I hope everyone has a great St. Patrick's Day. And I would like to celebrate. I'm getting my second shot on Wednesday.
Excellent. Good. Good to hear. Very good. Any other celebrations? Yes, Sandy.
My granddaughter in college, she took accelerated classes in high school, and the college has now accepted them, and she's been bumped up from freshman to sophomore.
Wow, that's something to be proud of.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Very proud.
And one other thing, we finally were able to sign up on a list. So we were two of the 200,000 people who signed up for our COVID shot.
Yay.
Finally got signed in.
Yay. Very good. At least you're signed in, huh?
Yes.
Excellent.
I got something.
Yeah.
I got my first shot the other day, and I'm going to get my second April 7th with my daughter.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
That's cool. I'm very happy with that.
I think we all celebrate the fact that we're starting to get vaccines. That's really going to be very, very important. Yeah.
Yes, Reverend Carol, I'd like to celebrate that too. I actually got in because I'm a teacher. Some of you may not know that. I also teach at a nursery school. And so next Sunday, right after service, I'm flying up to Gillette and getting my first shot. So
oh, very good.
I celebrate that. I was glad I was able to get in with the teachers from that school.
Absolutely.
And I'd also like to celebrate that tomorrow is Reverend Carol's birthday.
Birthday.
A lot of you all know that.
You can celebrate it if I don't choose to.
And since I'm unmuted on the screen, I will sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, our blessed Reverend Carol. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. Thank you. They said, beware the Ides of March, and along I came. And now they're saying, have you heard, beware the Ides of March, because the last three recessions and depressions began on the Ides of March. So be watching your portfolios starting tomorrow. Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Dave. I appreciate that. Any other celebrations? If not, then let us continue our worship by expressing our concerns for one another. And so we pray this morning for people who are ill and others in need of prayer, including these people. We pray for Loretta, for Jennifer, for Sue Winship, for Richard Lamoureux, who is in the hospital. Is he home now? I think I saw that Carmen was here, but he was hopefully going to come home today.
No, he's not coming home probably till Monday.
Till Monday now. Okay, I thought some prayers are with you, Carmen, and with him as well. We're glad you could be with us. Also, on our prayer list is Lee and Jane and her family, Brigitte, Len, who is at home with Nancy, thankfully, for Marge, for Corinne. Sue LaFortune sent me a text this morning. She's in terrible pain. She was in the hospital yesterday. They don't know what's going on, but she is absolutely uncomfortable and said she probably will not be able to sit at the computer today and will try to catch up with us on Facebook later when it gets posted, today's service. And also we've been asked for prayers again for Tyler and for the Bishop Feehan student, AJ, we continue to pray as well. For those who are in the nursing homes and assisted living, we pray for Jackie and for Carolyn. And of course, we continue to pray for all the people who are suffering from COVID and all of our healthcare workers. We pray for those who suffer from addictions. We pray for the well-being of our nation. We pray for our communities and one another as we face these difficult ongoing days together. So please join with me in a prayer for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning, and feel free to at home mention other names during the time of silence. Let us pray. Almighty God, eternal spirit, who raised from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ and pledged through his resurrection that they who died with him for your sake would live with him by your power. We praise you for the truth of the Easter resurrection, both for Jesus Christ and for each of us who call upon his name. We thank you for its witness to the truth that you sent Jesus because you so loved the world. That we have sinned, you know that. That we have been blind and deaf to your pleading, that we have been weak when we could have been strong, cruel when we should have been kind, stingy when we could have been generous, lacking courage when we had cause to be brave. You know all of this, O Lord, about us. For the evil done and the good not done, we ask your forgiveness. Hear us then as we pray for all sorts and conditions of your human creatures, the proud who have no reason for pride and the shamed who are more the victims of wrong than its doers, men and women with power, children of privilege, adults afraid and trembling, children starving and homeless, Jews and Arabs, Catholics and Protestants, Buddhists and Muslims, the lonely and the bitter, the insane and the imprisoned, those who have lost their fortunes and those who have lost loved ones. We ask your healing comfort to be especially with those whom we have mentioned by name today who are ill or suffering, as well as others we now name in your presence during this time of silence. Gracious God, stop the divisiveness and the turmoil in our nation. Bring us together as a people united under you, O God. Save us from our enemies, save us from our friends, and mostly save us from ourselves. It is in the name of your risen Son we pray. Amen.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Last week, the Gospel of John told us the story of Jesus and how he threw out the money changers from the temple. The Pharisees were getting upset with Jesus, who they perceived as a threat to the status quo of religious life in the temple. One Pharisee, however, was willing to listen to what Jesus had to say. I'll be reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and the all-familiar 16. Please hear these words. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one else can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. So we have this very strange little story from the Gospel of John, and the story is not repeated in any of the other Gospels. It is the story of a very well-respected man of Jesus' day. His name was Nicodemus. And we are told that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. There were two major parties in Jesus' day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees were the conservatives of the day, and the Sadducees were the liberals. Some things never change. They devoted themselves, those Pharisees, to being the very best people of their day, because they devoted themselves to conserving the spiritual treasures of the Jewish faith. What else do we know about the Pharisees? Well, they were the strictest sect of the Jews regarding the law. They were the strongest in religious character. They were considered to be the very best people in the nation. They believed in the immortality of the soul and the resurrection of the body and the existence of spirits. They believed in punishment and rewards in the future life. They believed in conformance to the law and that God's grace was only promised to the doers of that law, the strict doers of the law. In other words, only the Pharisees felt they would be recipients of God's grace. So Jesus' preaching was pretty radical to the Pharisees and to Nicodemus in particular. And he's the only one that is talked about in the Gospels anyway, that was intrigued enough to come to see Jesus in a clandestine visit by night. Why? Because he really wanted to know what Jesus was saying, but he doesn't really want the other Pharisees to know about meeting with Jesus. Jesus has made other demands upon would-be disciples. You may remember the rich young ruler. To that man, he said, sell all that you own and give it to the poor and follow me. But to Nicodemus, he says something very different. He says, you must be born again. Now, this is drastic, not just a new direction, but a new birth, an entire new life. Furthermore, Jesus is surprised that Nicodemus is astonished at this challenge. Radical as it may be, Jesus thought that it was the obvious next rational step. Change is inexorable in life, isn't it? From the moment of our conception, all of our life is in a process of change. But Nicodemus can't get his head around being born again. What in the world does Jesus mean by being born again? You see, he's being trapped by his own understanding of biology, and aren't we all? I have a favorite story. It's about a little girl who was asked to write an essay about birth. So she went home and she asked her mother how she had been born. And her mother, who was really busy at the time, said, oh, the stork brought you, darling, and left you on the doorstep. Well, okay. Continuing her research, she asked her dad how he had been born. And he was in the middle of something. And her father said, oh, you know, I was found in the cabbage patch. Then the girl went to her grandmother and asked how she had arrived on Earth. Oh, and she said, I was picked from a gooseberry bush. With this information, the girl wrote her essay. And when the teacher asked her to read it in front of the class, she stood up and began with this. There has not been a natural birth in our family for three generations. How true is that? Sometimes our children know a lot more than we do. When asked by Nicodemus, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Now, Jesus, according to the early church, was talking about baptism here, and perhaps that's so because he went to John the Baptist, about changing our lives because God has entered into us in a radical and new way. And if we feel the blowing of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then we need to do something about it. For many years, it was the opening of the, I think it was ABC Wide World of Sports television program on Sunday afternoons. And it opened with these words, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And when the announcer spoke about the agony of defeat, they showed a clip with a painful ending to an attempted ski jump. Do any of you remember that? Yeah, I see some heads nodding. Yeah, exactly. That looked absolutely awful, didn't it? The skier appeared to be in good form as he headed down the jump, but then for no apparent reason, he tumbled head over heels off the side of the jump, bouncing off the supporting structure. Do you know the rest of that story by any chance? Okay, well, here it is. I didn't know this until recently. He chose to do that. He chose to fall rather than finish the jump. Why? As he explained later, he realized going down that the jump surface had become too fast, and midway down the ramp, he realized if he completed the jump, he would land on the level ground beyond the safe sloping landing area, and that probably would have meant his death. So he made a split second decision. And as it was, he didn't suffer from hardly anything at all other than a headache from the fall. I think we can learn something from this. To change one's course in life can be dramatic and sometimes painful, but change is better than a fatal landing in the end. Yet we know that people don't like change. I don't know about you, I don't much like change. I don't think many of us like being here rather than in the sanctuary for worship, but thank God that we are able to be together anyway. It's certainly no one wants to give up the treasures of the past. There are values we want to preserve, but only if we do not make good the enemy of the best. We can learn from a creature in the jungle called the brachiating gibbon. It's a monkey-like creature who lives mainly in the trees, and that monkey understands that it cannot leap to the next limb until it lets go of the old limb. If past treasures keep us from going forward to find a new treasure, then the old treasures become impediments which impoverish us. Try to grasp the future branch at the same time you try to hang on to the past branch, and you can get all hung up. Some innovations we gladly welcome. For example, technology like Zoom and medical advances. I don't know about you, but I prefer the car I drive today to the old jalopy I drove when I was in college. And if I need surgery, give me the latest, not something from 100 years ago, probably without anesthesia. Yet we sometimes seem to feel a need to imagine that the spiritual can be unchanging. This delusion seems to give us a comforting sense of knowing what life is all about. But then disaster strikes, a death in my world, a pandemic races across the world, and we realize how shallow that kind of faith can be. So how do we answer those who don't like change? Can we repeal the very nature of life that God has created in each of us? Fixation on the past may well be a symptom of our fear of loss of control. We have reached a comfortable stage in our faith development, and we assume, like the Pharisees, that we have arrived. We are like the young man who paraded across the stage to receive his high school diploma, and as he held out his hand, he exclaimed, "Thank God I'm educated." Well, I think those of us who are a little bit older than that know, especially as the years go by, that we really know less and less about life and faith, that we will never really reach the end of our education. Nicodemus was born anew. He was there at the crucifixion, caring for the lifeless body of the crucified Christ, according to John in the 19th chapter. And he will be there for the resurrection. And he finally understood what Jesus was saying to him. May we open ourselves to the truth of change and truly of the resurrection. Amen. Thank you.
May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you all for being here. For those of you who have not yet been vaccinated, good luck on finding a way to get that vaccination. And if you want to join us for our virtual coffee, it's time, please stay with us.